עוד פעם אני אדבר באנגלית עם מי שצריך תרגום. It's worth remembering that human beings and all beings actually have a what's called negative bias, meaning we tend, which is kind of written into our brain, we tend to look for the problem. We tend to be more interested in the problem and what's wrong and what we need to fix than just being. And it's a state of mild anxiety in the ta'ei moach shelanu. Again, a little bit of anxiety. What do I have to deal with? What's the problem that I have to work with? So we're looking in a way for the problem all the time. So if you feel that, you know, your practice has lots of difficulties coming up, we're just meeting the ordinary state of mind. So one very basic antidote to that, antidote is trufa neged, huh? Basic antidote that we really shouldn't forget, and we do forget it, because our mind is built to look for the problem, we forget to be kind to ourselves. And so it's a reminder that written into the practice and written into the Dharma is kindness. We can look at our attention, tsumat lev, attention itself, as a form of kindness, of care. Just like a mother listening to a child needs attention, mindfulness, what's the child saying? Why is the child crying? I'm there for you. So I'm just a reminder in our practice today and in our practice and in the spiritual journey, whatever journey we travel on, there has to be kindness. If you feel stress in the body, stress in the mind, just be kind. Very simple. I'm listening is being kind. I'm there for you is being kind. Next time we're sick, tendency to lie there thinking, oh shit, I'm sick, I can't go to work, I feel bad, I don't know. Just take a breath, turn to the body and say, I'm with you, I'm listening, I'm for you, not against you. You're doing what you need to do, my body. I love you. Just offering that as a reminder. So keep returning in your practice, remembering. Sati is remembering, remembering to be aware. But I just want to, because we're also, today, we go out into our life, and I do want to offer a reminder here that helps us in our practice in daily life. And that is that meditation isn't work. It shouldn't be hard work. It shouldn't be like another thing I have to do, to do, to do. A whole list, to do, to do, to do, and meditation, another one on the list. Tick, tick, I did meditation. Tick, I did this. Tick, I... It's not one of those. Meditation mindful awareness is being available. Zminin, to be available to life. Not switched off, not disappeared, not shut down, not in tayas automati. It's being available, and that's not such hard work, because life is talking to us all the time. We just need to be available. So I do want to encourage you to see meditation as joyful and natural. Something very, very natural. So in our daily life, we can mention this, but choose a comfortable chair, sit down and regard meditation as deep rest. Stay with it, and then it will develop from there. Not something to do, but something just to, I'm just resting and being available to my life. And we can practice that today. We are at home, and we forget that we are deeply at home already. It's like we're looking out of the window of our house, so we forget that we're at home. We're just looking out of the window. Or we're riding a horse and forget we're on the horse. So it's, we come back home to ourselves, and that feeling gives ease and joy to our practice in our life, and our practice just today. Come back home. So today, mainly with the body still, this, because the body is the easiest place to expand our awareness. It's the easiest place. But of course not the only place, and today we can open out a bit more. Firstly, in the body itself, practice looking at things more subtle. More subtle. Like 90% of the iceberg, Tishim Achuz Shel HaKarchon, is Tachat HaMayim. So we want to get down to the 90%. Lo Rak Liot Be'Esar Achuz Shel HaMala. So be aware of the energy body, be aware of the movement of Tchushot, sensations in the body, in the arms, in the hands, in the feet. Be aware of all the vibrations around the breath and through the breath. Be aware of energy flowing. Be aware of subtle things that we don't give a name to. Be available to little voices. Be available to Kol Dmara Daka. So the word citta in Pali is one of the foundations of mindfulness. And citta is mind and heart. So we've been quite busy with mind. We didn't mention much the world of emotion and the world of feeling. But today also we can open a bit more to that. So feeling is happening all the time. Harashot or regashot, all the time. Even if we don't call it a feeling, it's, for example, what drives thinking. Thinking is driven by feeling. So we look at the feeling life. For example, thinking about the future, ma ye, ma ye, ma ni tzich lasot machar, ma mechake li machar, ma ni omes, what's the feeling behind those thoughts? Well, I feeling of slight daga, anxiety. worry. And we don't notice it because these are regular thoughts. Something interests us. And the malim she'ovrim ha'shvil, pitom, wow. Eze chavura shel malim. Wow. He will say that walking meditation shall end kol kach yachim. Interest has a feeling behind it. So you feel for them at that moment, or you feel for the cat outside the chadar ochel, or you feel for your body, or you feel for each other, or you have a moment of joy and a moment that is sad or difficult. Or so be attention to the feelings. The image I like for feeling, it's very classic, is mayim. Zrima mayim, flow of water. So really feel that we are just sitting next to the river of feeling, and our heart is expressing feeling. And so give it space, the feeling life. And it doesn't need to be strong as emotion, regesh. Feeling can be very delicate. Like I say, interest is already feeling. If the hindrances come up, difficulties on the mind-body level, like I said, tiredness or restlessness or reactivity to guvatiyut or negativity or hitnagdut or lo mishaneh ma, you know, just be okay with that, realizing that that's also an invitation to practice, not a problem that we have to deal with, but a voice that we need to listen to. It's absolutely okay. We turn to our experience. If it's an experience that seems like, well, it's not meditation, it is meditation. It is the practice. These are voices. Basically, any voice that arises in our mind-body field is worth it. Shabbat, we turn to it. Pay attention also to the feeling, the pleasant and unpleasant that comes during our practice. So we're all being paying some attention to that. It's come up in the groups. But sometimes we need reminding that there will be pleasant and there will be unpleasant. And there is no way that we can sort that out, because to just go for the pleasant, and that the unpleasant we try and get rid of. There's no way we can do that. What we can do, and where the Dharma takes us, is to a very, very beautiful place in our daily life, in which we are bigger than pleasant and unpleasant experiences. So if we practice this, our whole life can change. So there's something very powerful in the practice of mindful awareness, in which we don't select the pleasant and try and get rid of the unpleasant, but we allow both and are bigger than both. What does it mean, bigger than both? It's like we have a, like I say, oi in one hand, joy in the other hand. Oi and joy. And we hold oi and joy. But we are not them. We are bigger than them. They come and go, but we are here, able to contain them, hold them, be with them, be okay with this and with this. I must say, it's the image of holding oi and joy together is coming from my favorite English poet William Blake, who said, if we know joy and woe, woe is oi, is difficulty. If we know joy and woe, through life we safely go. It's a very sweet piece of a long poem by William Blake. So really, that's the practice with unpleasant and pleasant. Please allow today pleasant, unpleasant as being part of our experience moment by moment, and just be able to be with both of them. Just as they come, just as they go. So, in the meeting with unpleasant, it's quite helpful to have an understanding of dukkha. Dukkha is, as you know, a very primary concept, understanding and experience in the practice. And dukkha simply means dissatisfaction or suffering or pain or difficulty. And it's the first noble truth of the Buddha, meaning it cannot be avoided in life. It doesn't mean to say life is pain or painful. Life is life. But it means all beings, once they're born, will have dukkha somewhere or other. Experiences of dukkha will appear. So just the only reason I'm saying this is that if we understand that the difficulties of life are natural and dukkha is a natural part of being alive and not a special problem that I have to put up with, and it's life is so difficult and it's just me, and dukkha is universal. And so just understanding that will allow us to, in a way, to relax. So yeah, it's just dukkha. So dukkha can get quite subtle. For example, thought about tomorrow, ma yeh machar, ma ani os tzrich lasot. That's dukkha. It's a contraction in the mind. And if you think, what can be instead of it? It takes place in the mind. It contracts the mind, the kavetsita mind, into what's the problem, difficulty. So even just thought can be seen as dukkha, kind of controlling us. So it gets very subtle. And of course, pain in the back, also dukkha. So just be aware that dissatisfaction is part of our experience. Again, it doesn't mean there's no joy. Joy is there as well. But we just need to be bigger than both, and we can have an understanding of dukkha. Dukkha is always a teacher for us. When we meet this dissatisfaction, say, ah, you're my teacher. I have to look at you and see you and see underneath and let you go. Talking about which, letting go is a key. We can't hold on to things. And we really need to be active in letting stuff go. It's like the number one principle of the Dharma practice. Doesn't matter who you talk to, it can be a Zen monk, it can be a Tibetan Lama, it can be a Tibetan kid in a Tibetan monastery, it can be a Cambodian, it can be a Sri Lanka, it can be a Thailand Buddhist. Everyone will agree. The one thing the practice involves is, one thing the Buddha said is, no clinging, don't hang on to anything, let it all go. So keep allowing that. Whatever arises, whatever is born in us as a thought or experience or a feeling or a perception, what should go. Say goodbye. Let go. And we can watch the endings of things. Watch the ending of a thought. Watch the ending of a feeling. What happens then? When something is gone, what's instead of what the thing that arises? What happens? What opens? Especially strong, that experience, when we have something strong like anger, then there's because the anger is so strong, when the anger passes by and is gone, the space that opens can be very interesting, clear, and release, in a sense of spaciousness, sense of release. So keep watching the endings. So I want to finish with a small reminder of another aspect of the wisdom of what we are practicing here. We tend to be occupied with ourselves. We tend to think, my experience is mine. We're here, we're quiet, we don't talk to each other. We tend to own our experience. Ba'alut, tend to own our bodies, tend to own our minds. My mind says, my body says, I see the tree, I eat the rice. But this is quite a lot of illusion in this. Because the nature of reality is relationship. And we are in constant relationship with everything. And the world, in a way, is looking out of our eyes. We think we are looking out of our eyes. It's actually the world looking out of our eyes. So, also, this is quite practical. This is not a theoretical wisdom. And today, as we open our practice out a bit more, and we should open out, we can feel a little bit more today, the trees and the grass and the sky and each other. And a sense of relationship, that we're in constant relationship. So mindfulness will show us this. It will open us to be connected. Life is not owned by us. Life owns us. We belong to life. Life doesn't belong to us. We can actually feel that. We'll let go into life. Just this moment of existence. And then that's very much the fruit of practice, because there's a lot of joy and peace. Not in just dealing with our issues, but actually letting go into a bigger space and feeling our connections. So it's something that we can remember as we walk, as we sit, as we listen, as we breathe, as we eat, as we drink, as we think, as we feel, all of this is relationship. We're in relationship to life. Tree of life. Emsa Gan Eden. Okay, so let's take 10 minutes of practice.